Welcome to the podcast where we talk all about love. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Carly Ann. Let's be honest, nobody taught us about the challenges that come with finding and keeping healthy, happy relationships.
Nobody warned us of the courage that you need to put yourself out there when dating, or gave us the tools to manage anxiety, or told us what the hell to do when we got ghosted.
As two coaches working in this space, we want to open up the conversation and give our take into the real,
messy,
amazing,
sometimes tiring and frustrating,
but mainly an extraordinary journey
that comes with creating the secure, lasting relationships that you deserve. Welcome back to All About Love, the Healing and Attachment podcast. Guys, we've got a special treat for you. Unfortunately, we're not starting a brand new series as much as we would love to, but we're struggling slightly for time at the moment as Carly has some very, very exciting news. But what we wanted to do today was jump on and do a one-off podcast episode about a topic that is so close to our hearts, and it is about how to develop healthy self-esteem and what are the sneaky ways that self-esteem or low self-esteem can sabotage us that we might not even be aware of. This is because, drumroll Carly, we are also running an amazing workshop on the 23rd of March, which will be all about this, as well as launching our first ever program that we're doing together called Glow.
Yes, been in the making for a while, kind of we've been waiting for it to land. But in celebration of this new program, Glow, we are going to be hosting a free self-esteem and confidence workshop. And today we really, really want to just spend some time looking at the real secret kind of subtle signs that you might be struggling with low self-esteem, because I, for one, really fell into so many of these traps, and I never realized if I worked on my self-worth, if I worked on that inner glow, a lot of my problems will shift, will get easier, will, to be honest with you, some of them did disappear. I don't want to make it sound simple, but they did. So to get all of the details for the free workshop on Saturday, the 23rd of March, 11 a.m. or replay, go to the description and you'll see everything there. We would love, love, love to see our podcast listeners there, like to actually get to interact with you. We were really thinking, as we start to emerge from the winter hibernation, this is the time to transform how you feel about yourself and get your glow back. Caitlin, hello.
Hello, hello.
This is so exciting. I'm going to kick straight off with a question. Why do you feel like it's important for the listeners to be able to recognize the sneaky signs of low self-esteem?
Well, I think it's, for me, self-worth and having self-worth and having a decent amount of self-esteem is the foundation for feeling good, for getting great relationships, for feeling happy within yourself, within your life, and actually making the change and grabbing life by the horns. And really, you know, it affects every single area of our life: friendship, work, relationships, how we show up on a daily basis. So for me, if you're feeling a bit blah, if you feel like you're kind of lost, if you feel like you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, actually, this is the first thing we look at. And I definitely, like, for years, just felt a bit crappy. But if somebody said, oh, you're not very confident or you don't have great self-esteem, I'd say, excuse me? Of course I do. But actually, when you look under the bonnet, there was so much there that I needed to kind of do and work on.
I'm exactly the same. It was like, I don't know, just that moment where I realized, I actually remember it really clearly. And I had been falling into many of these patterns. It's particularly triggered by shock horror, a relationship breakdown. And I woke up in the morning and I was just like, oh my God, I don't know my worth. And it just happened to be coinciding with me delivering for the first time a self-esteem workshop. And so all of that together, I was able to see these signs that you and I are talking about. I was able to see them in the people coming through this workshop and then being like, oh my goodness. And, you know, look, that's what how many people in this industry really discover themselves as well, is through the teaching, through what you're learning. And for sure, it was just seeing that these signs, because you see them individually, you'll hear when Caitlin and I talk about it, but you see them kind of individually sometimes and you don't see them together, that can make up and be like, oh my God, it's just a case of me knowing my value in this world. Because I guess that's key, right? What is mine in your definition of self-esteem? But the way that I see it is, it's you knowing your value in this world, that you are inherently worthy, what is ever going on around you. And whether you trip, whether you fall, whether you experience rejection or you lose your job or something doesn't go to plan, you're always still worthy. And no matter what you've been through, no matter what your story is, you have a place in this world. It's yours. And when you value yourself, you will use that space as we were born to or supposed to.
Oh, I don't think I could add anything to that. Yeah, like that is what healthy and happy self-esteem is. And for me as well, I think it's not internalizing, as you said, external events and making it about you not being good enough. It's not using kind of external events or things that happen, such as rejection or whatever, as proof that you are not enough or that there's something inherently wrong with you. You know, it's all those phrases, isn't it, that come up. It's what's wrong with me? Why aren't I enough? When is it going to happen? Why me? All of the things that pop up on a daily basis, those thoughts that we have, it's been able to manage them, which we're going to talk about in one of our kind of sneaky habits of how.
And do you know what I will just say as well, because you and I, we have been waiting for this to land in its own time. Like, what is it you and I want to bring to the world, like our message, our gift together? And I can just feel it when we talk about this, like how passionate we are about it. And so as we go through these, I guess it is just that reminder of, do go to the description, do sign up for the workshop, because we really, really want to help people that relate to this, right?
And guys, also the workshop is no strings attached. Like, it's a free hour with us on a Saturday morning. And even if actually you think, do you know what, my self-esteem, my confidence is pretty great, but I want a little pep back in my step, a little sparkle, come and join it.
Yeah. And do you know what? Side note, and then we will move on. I know it was me that said we've got to like keep this together and like not like go off on tangents, but here I am. I sometimes, so if you can't make the Saturday morning, for example, make sure you sign up and get the replay, because I find that a Friday or Saturday night in by myself is a really, really good time to do this work. Stops me like losing myself, and it's a really good time to just feel really good about that time on your own.
Okay, so let's dive into the kind of key signs and habits that we see people repeating that might indicate that you want to do a little bit of work on this area, or it's at least worth exploring. And the reason we're doing this rather than diving into tips is because the first point of call for any sort of change in action is having the awareness of what is going on. So this is why we picked these six specifically. So number one, I'll dive straight in, is people pleasing such a big topic, Carly?
I feel like this one, it is so subtle, because it gets a little bit blurred sometimes with your compassion, with if you know who you are, it can get kind of blurred with who you want to be, that you like giving, things that, you know, make you feel good as well. But ultimately, there is something here about you are putting other people's needs, other people's wants above your own, and you're seeking their validation without them liking you, without their validation, without their whatever it is. You don't feel good enough, or you feel lost, or you feel worried. And I think it's a really subtle sign here, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with the person you're dating or family, you'll find yourself saying things like, I don't mind, whatever you want, you can decide, you make that choice. Now, there is an element here of where you might not mind some of these things. That's like fair enough. But personally, I think it's because you don't want to make the wrong choice, because what will they think? And you'll overthink what they think.
Yeah, it's that kind of that worrying, isn't it, about upsetting people. But then it's also taking the action to think, okay, if I have done something wrong, or if somebody doesn't like me, what else can I do to make them like me? So if you're on a date, you might find yourself agreeing with everything they say, or, you know, if they like hiking or being outdoors, oh, you love that as well. But actually, then you will go away and take yourself on a hike to almost prove that, yeah, you do like that. But it's in response to trying to get somebody to like you. And it's the kind of the intent, isn't it, of needing that validation, but followed up with the action of you kind of wanting to do and overgive.
Yeah, going out of your way. I mean, it's literally you're going out of your way to please someone.
And I always think molding yourself to somebody as well. And I do think there's something in this, and I know that we're going to talk about this kind of in the workshop and stuff, but I certainly felt like this for years. I didn't actually know who I was. I felt like I'd really lost myself and, you know, maybe not having that kind of core thing of who am I. And I hate this word, like talking about your authentic self, because, you know, for me, like, I don't know, it just feels a bit wanky. But like, and I know other people love it, so sorry if I've offended anybody. But there is something in there about knowing who you are really at your core and not changing depending on your audience. And if you never, if you don't know that, if you've lost yourself, you can feel really unanchored. And that's how I felt for like most of my 20s, like this unanchored, feeling left behind, feeling lost, not sure what was going on.
Yeah, I think the people pleasing, the low self-esteem, the not knowing yourself, they all kind of merge into one. And I think that's what we really want to kind of break down a bit, isn't it? And see if we can support people to separate that a little bit.
Okay. Number two?
Number two is low standards. And this might be allowing people to treat you poorly. It might be the kind of people that you surround yourself with, your environment, but basically you're settling for less. Now, you may not know this. It's really hard sometimes to recognize that your standards are low if this is the highest they've ever been. Does that make sense? I find that quite hard to explain, but sometimes your evidence of what is a good standard and good quality healthy treatment is really shit treatment. What you have experienced so far hasn't been great. And so I think you really, really have to be honest with yourself here if you are putting yourself into situations where you're just not getting what you deserve, need, or what fulfills you.
Yeah, a quite a good example of this, it's probably easier to relate this more to dating, is let's say you're in a situation and it feels a bit crappy, you want more, they don't want to commit to a relationship, they you know, are slightly treating you like a bit like an option, you know, they're coming around late at night, whatever is going on. But let's say they have a good job, they seem a bit kinder than your usual type, they are texting you a little bit, so there are some glimmers of things feeling like you're elevating your standards, but actually the treatment is crappy, but it's better than what you used to.
Absolutely. And what we can usually relate this to here is how you view yourself, how you view others. And particularly, and this can be a really subtle one that we will really work hard to help you uncover, is whether there is anything around what you believe you deserve. And I think that can be really key. And I remember my therapist saying to me once, oh, you don't think you deserve this. And I was like, that makes no sense to me. Yes, I do. I think it can go really deep. But yeah, there's something here with the lower standards of what do you feel like you deserve? What are you used to accepting? How do you treat yourself? All of these things. There's a lot to like unpack here.
Oh, definitely. And with that, I just want to pick up on one more thing you've said, is the how you treat yourself and what you are prepared to do for yourself. And I see this presented in a real subtle way with a lot of people. It's like your body and soul tells you that, I don't know, you want to do something nice for yourself, like get a massage or book a facial or even take yourself for a walk. But you feel guilty at the thought of doing that. So you feel guilty at the thought of taking that 30 minutes out of your day to do something for yourself.
Yes.
Rather than being at work or giving yourself to your children or whatever that might be.
Yeah. Okay. That is actually as well another sneaky sign. We'll keep it in this, but I would say if you feel guilty for a lot of things that do not require or is not appropriate to, or accurate, I should say, to feel guilty about. So I think you just added a really good point there.
Look at me go. Okay, number three. Oh my God, this is probably the biggest bad boy. Your inner dialogue. Oh my God, your inner critic, that voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough, you look like shit, it's never going to happen for you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I would say about this one as well, because we were saying this before we hit record, but we all are critical to ourselves. I think there's an argument that we're always going to be our own biggest critic. But what will happen with lower self-esteem is you will tend to get stuck there. You'll get stuck in that space of criticizing yourself and the self-attacking thoughts and like ruminating on that. And also you're likely to believe that thought a lot more. So while somebody might be really critical to themselves and believe that like 70% at the time, someone with low self-esteem might be like really strict, 100% that is true about me.
Yeah, I like to think about your inner critic and your kind of belief system as like a little dial, and you can turn it down to zero. Some days it might pop back up to, you know, 70%, but you should have the, or hopefully will have the ability to keep turning it back down. When you have really low self-esteem, that dial is almost stuck on 100 and you don't really have the tools to manipulate it yet.
And the thing is when we believe these things, that leads to those feelings of being inadequate. You were saying about that feeling of not being enough. And the key thing here, and I think this is where a lot of the passion comes from, is it impacts our mental health. Like, we know that people that are more critical to themselves versus self-compassion, they are more likely to experience depression. They are more likely to experience anxiety. And so, like, this is real life we're talking about, you know. So I think the inner critic one is a real key one to pay attention to. And if you struggle to manage that yourself, it's not something you just have to live with.
Beautifully said. Number four, and actually this links really nicely, the afraid to take risks and step out of your comfort zone. And again, that might come from that little voice that tells you, you can't do it, this isn't safe, whatever. But you keep yourself small and you keep yourself a little bit stuck. So you might be dreaming of that life, or, you know, you not, okay, let's break it down even more. You might even be thinking, I'd really like to go to the gym. I want to go to the gym. You might have even signed up for the membership, but you haven't gone. And it's the something that is blocking you or stopping you kind of taking the step to put you out of your comfort zone, because there's the risk of, you know, rejection, hardship, the unknown, the uncertainty, all of that kind of will stop you stepping out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, and I guess the key thing that you and I are getting across with these being subtle signs is that in some way you will be avoiding not feeling good enough about yourself. It will be, if I don't put myself in this position, I don't have to see that I failed. I don't have to see that I experienced rejection. The most effective way, I'm giving a little bit of insight today, maybe a bit more into the course, but the most effective way to really manage that or change that is to actually start putting yourself in these quite anxiety provoking situations, hence with support can be really good, and to start showing yourself, not that everything's going to be perfect, not that every date's going to go well or everyone's going to want to be in a relationship with you, but actually that you can cope and it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. Like, for me, I don't know about you, Caitlin, but what comes to mind is putting myself out there to start this business, to start this podcast, for you and I to be like, we want to run this course, and putting ourselves out there, even though we don't know how this is going to go. You and I have no idea if one person is going to want to join this workshop.
Yeah. I think you nailed it there where you said the avoidance. It's the, there will be something in your life, or there will be a lot of things in your life, big or small, that you want to shut your eyes and not think about and avoid doing. It's that. And I see it in dating so much, like, you know, you can't even contemplate going on a date or like thinking about the apps, or, you know, you might be speaking to people, but then you block them before the date actually comes up. It's the sheer avoidance, your brain and your body won't even let you think about it.
Yeah, and you are avoiding discomfort in some way. Go on, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, yes, you're avoiding discomfort. And then on the flip side of that, which is actually our fifth point, we see people either avoid discomfort or we see people overcompensate in the of their lives. So the fifth sneaky little sign is actually overcompensating.
Yeah, 100%. You do tend to see that people will fall into one of these, like being an avoider or an overcompensator. But that said, also it might be that you avoid at work, but you overcompensate in relationships and things like that. So the overcompensating tends to look like it. I think that the people pleasing can fall into this, right? As we were saying again before we hit record, but it is giving all of yourself and more to try and be enough, to try and stop the risk of looking like you're not enough or I failed, or some, you know, to stop someone not liking you. So you're going to work all hours, you're going to cancel your own plans to help your friend, even though you really need to do whatever your plans were. You're going to go above and beyond, and it probably impacts your self-care, it impacts your self-esteem, it impacts your, again, your well-being, your mental health.
Yeah, definitely. It's that it's the perfectionist tendencies, isn't it? And it is a really, really big one. You mentioned is the working all hours of the night, but never feeling like you've done enough to stop.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's because I was thinking, like, do you know what comes to my mind here? We've all got those people maybe that we work with or that we're around that we're like, oh my God, and I know I shouldn't say this given the work we do, but we're like, they're just too much to be around, or they always want to be the centre of attention, or they just always have to make people laugh. One of the most subtle things about low self-esteem sometimes is extreme confidence. You try to mask your insecurities by exaggerating certain behaviors, certain traits in order to, yeah, overcompensate, in order to get that validation in some way and to make sure I look like I am good enough. I look like I am succeeding. I look like I am lovable, whatever it is. And my point is that we are all of those things without needing to be anyone else.
Interesting. Yeah, you've actually kind of pulled on two camps of people then. You've either got the, like, almost the quieter, the overworker, the overdoer, the overgiver, who is almost kind of that controlled perfectionism, isn't it? Like, your house has got to be spotless, like everything's got to be perfect in its place. Or you've got the really loud people who are overcompensating socially a lot of the time to kind of mask what's going on.
Absolutely. And look, if you're here thinking, hey, that's me and I'm happy with that, then that's great. We're talking to the people who come away and feel exhausted, like, oh God, why can't I just be myself?
And then the negative voices kick in and you spend your time worrying if you've said something wrong. And even though you've had a good time with your mates, there's that voice being like, oh my God, has so-and-so taken that the wrong way? Should I text them and make sure they're okay?
100%. That could be another subtle one on its own as well.
Oh my God, it's literally exhausting being in my head sometimes.
Isn't it? Like, it's exhausting. I think it's a really good point, though. It is exhausting, and you don't even realize why you're exhausted. And it's because you're fighting so hard to be good enough, and you already are.
Yeah. Yes, you bloody are. And do you know what? This is actually, we're recording this, guys, on the day where it's been International Women's Day, it's been Mother's Day. It's a celebration of generally how great we are. Perfect segue onto the last sneaky sign we're going to talk about today, which is those who struggle with compliments.
Mm-hmm. Can I start with an example of this one, because it's always stuck out to me? But I will never forget working with this girl. We were really close friends, and someone complimented her trainers and she just thanked them. And I remember being like shocked that that was the response to someone getting a compliment, that she fully accepted it and just said, thank you. And I remember just, it baffled me, because I could never imagine myself being so comfortable, or it baffled me. I haven't done that much self-reflection on it, but or it baffled me that I find that so awkward that I couldn't do something so simple.
Yeah. There's, I've just been watching One Day, and there's this scene where he says to her, "One day I'm going to give you a compliment and you're not going to bat it away or degrade it or talk about how cheap the thing was that you bought that I'm complimenting you on. One day you're just going to have to accept it."
Yeah.
And it is such a, it's also quite an English thing, isn't it? To like, you know, when somebody in my house says, "Oh, that's nice," I'm like, "Thanks, £5 from Dana."
And I love the example that you gave from One Day, because I know that in the program, we will look at the really subtle ways that you might not be accepting compliments. And you, it, honestly, sometimes that like, you don't even realize what you're doing. So we've purposely brought that into the program. But the key thing, I think, as well with struggling to accept compliments is it tends to be this really subtle sign that, again, you might not feel like you deserve that. You might not think that of yourself. You might not be used to kindness towards yourself. And that's something that really, of course, that impacts our self-esteem. Of course, it impacts whether we think we're valuable.
Well, yeah, because let's be honest, if we can't accept a compliment, it's very hard to accept help from somebody. It's very hard to accept somebody doing something nice to you. You might not even be able to accept your friend buying you a drink without feeling like you've then got to buy them one back, or you've got to do something nice for them. It's almost the being able to receive love, isn't it?
Yeah, like you are not unworthy of praise. You are not unworthy of that compliment. If someone else in the group that you're sat in deserves that compliment, there's no reason you don't deserve it as well.
And I do think as well, if when we find it really difficult to accept compliments, to accept kindness, to accept love, I also do find that it can, any form of criticism though can also really hurt. Like it's the, I don't know what it is, I don't know why that came to my mind, but yeah, it's the, we can't accept love, but then also when there's a perceived criticism or rejection, it hurts so much more as well. I know it's like two sides of the same coin, but yeah.
No, definitely, 100%. I feel like we've got a really good list there of just, at least, obviously it's a partial list and we could say more and more. But you know, we did promise ourselves a shorter podcast. And anyway, we're going to really talk about this in the workshop, aren't we? We really just wanted this to be an introduction to say, guys, we are running this workshop. Sign up for it. Come and spend this time with us, because not just because I really want to connect with people that listen to the podcast.
I never even thought about that. That's such a lovely way to think about it. But yeah, we're going to be looking in the workshop in far more depth, actually, about, okay, what are the signs, but most importantly, what are the steps we can take to shift them and change them? And we're going to be giving away so many kind of free tools of how you can start to do this work. So it's not going to be a bullshit sales workshop about glow. We are going to be mentioning, of course, because it's in celebration, but you will get so much value from the hour. There'll be so much you can go and do to take away and work on this yourself, because that is our intention. That's what we want. We want people to celebrate themselves. We want, do you know what? Forget even learning to love yourself. We want people to like themselves at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Especially because we have done this inner work and we know the opportunities that come from it, whether it is us starting our business, whether it is having healthier relationships, daily habits. I keep saying it because it's so true. My mental health has been better since I have known how to challenge and change those subtle tips that we've just spoken about.
So guys, join us and get your glow back. See you on the 23rd of March.